listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome. This is your time with God in the Raw Ministries. Dr. Prophetess Charmaine Gail Peart from the Seventh-day Church of the Living God invites you to tap into this anointed hour where you will be blessed with the Word as she brings to you the very mind of Christ. So open your hearts, open your mind, because a blessing is on the way.
It becomes imperative for us to make sure that our feet are covered, and not just covered, but covered properly. Amen. Amen? Why the taking off of the shoe, and why would you come with such a word, prophetess, take your shoe off? When Moses came into the presence of God, the Lord says, Moses, take your shoe off. The place where you're standing is holy ground. But some of us never ask the question, why? Is it just because it's holy? Well, God has impressed it upon my heart to delve into the taking off of the shoes. And why is it so important for the shoes to be taken off when you're coming into a holy place? So I found out that God is not just a God of the 21st century. God is an ancient God. Oh, somebody bless God. He is not a cultural God. He is just a God that has no time. He is a God that has no limit. He is not a God that can be carried in a box. In the ancient days, if a man would come into a covenant with his neighbor, the appropriate thing that they would do then is to take off a shoe as a sign of my promise to you. When your neighbor holds your shoe, it simply means that you're obligated to your neighbor. Because at some point or another, when the obligation is met, that person will have to return to pick up their shoe. For as long as your neighbor holds your shoe, it simply means that you owe your neighbor something. It was a shame for you to lose your shoe. Come on now. And I've learned a lot in delving into the subject as to why God commands us to be the lender and not the borrower. Because if I borrow from you, I have to give you a shoe until I come back. Come on now. We should be the ones holding shoes. Not your neighbor and say, neighbor, where's your shoe? Come on, serious. Look at somebody and say, who got your shoe? Said, by the time this word is finished, come on, look at somebody, open your mouth and prophesy. Said, by the time this word come to a close, every shoe that is out there for me will be heading on home. Oh, somebody bless God if you believe him for a miracle. I said, somebody bless God if you believe him for a miracle. So it was not a compliment to have your shoe removed. If your shoe was removed, then you were labeled as a covenant breaker. If your shoe had to be removed, then it simply means that you are worthless. Do you know what the word worthless means? It simply means no good. The removing of the shoe was so significant back in the ancient days that the word of the Lord said, if a man, brother, died, and his brother have a wife, never had the opportunity to raise up children before his death, then the brother that is alive must marry his dead brother wife and raise up children in his dead brother's name. Can I tell you, some of us not even ready to please God? Because today we are sitting here, and if I know that you date John, baby girl, I ain't dating John. Lest peradventure you tell somebody I took John away from you. We have some folks out there, you want to take John to church, and when you get to church, you have to be the one to sit beside John. Who tell you that John is yours? If the brother that was living did not like his dead brother's wife and refused from taking her as a wife and raising up children in his dead brother's name, the word of the Lord said that that brother should be brought to the elders. Hello? Giving you a piece of theology. When he get in front of the elders, that woman that he should have taken and raised up children to his brother should walk up and spit in his face and loose his shoe. And then there would be a labor on that man. And the labor would be the house of him who hath his shoes loose. So every time somebody passed by your house, they would point at your house and said, that is the house of the man who has his shoes loose. That is the house of a covenant breaker. That is the house of a worthless man. Somebody bless God. Somebody bless God. I'm taking you somewhere. Are you coming? I said, I'm taking you somewhere. Are you coming? There's a country song that says, whose bed has your shoes been under? Boaz is a replica of what we called our Kinsman's Redeemer. Somebody bless God. Do you know your Bible heritage? So here comes, we're still in the Old Testament, and here comes Ruth. Ruth needed a man. And she had a very wise mother-in-law. You see, her husband died. And I'm sure you know the story well, so I'm not here to educate you about Ruth and Naomi. I want you to come on this journey with me. We have a short time to get there, but tell somebody, by God, we will get there. So Ruth needed a man, and her mother-in-law said, girl, come let me tell you how to get one. When you're getting one, you have to make sure that he can take care of you. Make sure that he can afford you. You have to make sure that his shoes is not loose. Hello? Ruth says, Naomi says to her, I want you to wash yourself. And then I want you to get you down to that place. Because they are reaping barley. Come on now. I would think that it was during the time of Feast of Tabernacles. It's harvest time. So I want you to get down there. And by the time you get there, Boaz will probably have too much to drink, you see, because he is so excited about the blessings of God. Somebody praise God in the room. And when you get there, I want you to lay down at his feet. And when you lay down at your feet, it's going to be that Boaz will put his skirt over you, oh God. was that if a man cover you with his skirt, it simply means that he becomes betrothed to you. So Boaz woke up from his sleep, and lo and behold, this beautiful damsel was laying at his feet. But you see, Boaz was very curious about the woman prior to. And make sure he told his reapers, as you're reaping, I want you to leave extra in the way for her, you see? And just allow her to gather as much as she can. So he had a very special interest in her. He understood that she could have gone and seek after some other man, but she decided to stuck it out with her mother-in-law. So he already knew that there was something special about this Ruth girl, huh? He woke up out of his sleep, and lo and behold, she was laying at his feet. He said, listen, baby girl, you're going to have to go. Because if anyone come by and see you in my presence like this, I'll be in a whole lot of doo-doo. So he took her veil, and he didn't send her away empty. Come on now. But Boaz said, Lord God, help me. I cover this woman with my skirt. This simply means I'm betrothed to her. I have to go and make sure that there is no one else that stands in line that is qualified to marry her before me. Oh, yeah. I know we have some hot church brothers out there. You know the girl ain't yours. Huh? You know it's Brother John's girl. And you know Brother John have all intention of marrying that girl, but you with your slick self. You have to find some reason to bring down John because you just want Brother John's girl. Oh, don't you know that church people behave like that? And that's why they say hypocrites go to church. And I said, I agree. And if you know any hypocrites, send them out to church, because that's exactly where they belong. Oh, somebody bless God. Amen. Crazy people go to the crazy house, and hypocrites head out to church. Yeah. So the preacher can knock some stuff out of you. Yeah. Oh, somebody bless God. Amen. So Boaz went and found out that there was actually someone else in line to marry Ruth. But the man says, I have no interest. Turn to your neighbor and say, what God have for you is just for you. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them, what God has for me, what God has predestined for me, no devil in hell can take it from me. Said, I don't care if the devil owns it. If God predestined it to be mine. Come on, said, his permissive will is going to get it to me one way or another. So the king's man says, I have no interest to take my shoe. Bless God. Bless God. Are you understanding the loosing of the shoe now? How imperative it was back then. It was a covenant. It was an oath taken. But when God requires your shoes to be removed, I'm taking you into a total different realm. So you see that God was in the loosing of the shoe business. Oh, somebody bless God. The difference is, I told you that when your neighbor holds your shoes, you're obligated to that neighbor. But when God requires your shoe, God become obligated to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, surrender your shoe. And let God handle your feet. So Moses came into the presence of a holy God. Moses embarked upon a mountain and had no idea that God resided there. Somebody praise him. He saw the fire burning. He saw the bush in the midst of the fire. But the bush was not consumed. So Moses was very curious because, you see, he was raised to be fearless. Huh? So he got a little closer and because of his curiosity. But as he got closer, God said, listen, man. Can I paraphrase? God said, yo, brother. I don't know what kind of language you speak down there in Egypt. But whatever it is, I'm going to speak it so you can understand. Man, you can't approach my mountain with your dirty shoes on your feet. Shoes carry germs. Come on now. I've been to England before, and you have to know this, that when you go there, you dare not walk into somebody's house with your shoes on your feet. Huh? That is not courteous, huh? Because shoes carries germs. God said, take your shoes from off your feet. If you want to see what this is all about, you're going to have to give up your shoes. Yeah. Take it off. Yeah. For I am that I am. I'm a holy God. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us want to come into the presence of God, but you don't want to take your shoes off. Let me tell you something. You might don't have to take your shoes off, but you need to get some stuff out of your life. Some of us love to say, I've been into the presence of God, or I was in the presence of God this morning. Yes, really? Were you really? What did he tell you to take off? Because when a man comes into the presence of God, God is going to tell him to do something. Moses got a little closer, and Moses desired to see what God looked like. God says, Moses, hide yourself in the rock. I'm going to pass by, but you cannot see my face. If you see my face, I love you, but you will die. I said that God was in the loosing of the shoe business. Somebody praise him. Praise him if you know him. When he took his shoe off, God was able to talk with him. And God said, listen, man, I'm sending you back to Egypt. I know you're running from Egypt, but I'm sending you back. Don't tell me that you're coming to the presence of God and he did not give you any direction. Don't tell me you're coming to the presence of God, but you don't know where you're going. It just does not work like that. When you come into the presence of God, God has directive for you. There is direction for your life. There is direction for somebody. My God, if you get into the presence of God, he must send a message my way. God said, I know you're going down to Egypt. And this is what happens when you come, when you lose your shoes in God's hand. Come on now, God fight all your battles for you. Yeah. Moses went back to Egypt, but long story short, you know it well. And God would have him to discipline all the gods of the Egyptians. Yeah. That's when God have your shoe. Yeah. Come on now. And so you would think that it stopped there, but I want to bring you to a scripture. And very soon we're going to get our shout back. Turn your Bibles with me to Joshua 5. When you find it, say amen. Amen. Now God told Moses, his servant, that he would not go into the promised land, because when Moses should have spoken to the rock, he struck the rock and God disciplined him. God said, you did not honor me in front of my people. Yeah. So you cannot go. However, Moses, I'm going to allow you to view the land. Right. You can see the land, but you won't get to go there. Yeah. Be careful. Yeah. The person next to you hinder you from getting from point A to point B. Some of us have some blessing stoppers and we don't even know it. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't pay attention to that which is fighting against you. Say, neighbor, don't pay attention to that which is provoking you. If God give you a word, then honor the word wherever you are in spite of. And God gave, Moses gave Joshua commandment that, listen, I can't go to the promised land, so you're going to have to take the people over. My time is expired. And Joshua was still sitting there until God had to come and show up and said, get up, Moses, my servant is dead. Get up and take my people into the promised land. Come on, somebody, and bless God. Joshua got up, and this is what the word of the Lord said, that by this time, you see, they have already passed over Jordan. Hello? And it's now time to get into Jericho. And I preached a message before how, you know, some people that you call hypocrites and some people that you call prostitutes are wiser than some people that are speaking in tongues 24/7, huh? Come on now, because when the prostitute saw the men of God marching into the land of Jericho, she already knew that God, if they are here, then God gave them the land. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now Joshua knew that they were going into Jericho, and he saw a man with a drawn sword, and Joshua was brave enough to say, are you for us? Are you or against us? I want you to listen to this. You see, to this point, God took off Moses' shoes. Here is Joshua. First big triumphant miracle is about to burst through the seams, huh? Yes, it was all good and dandy that he crossed through Jordan and God froze the water of Jordan and cut off the supplies to all the rest of cities. That all the kings, when they heard it, the word of the Lord said that their heart melted. But Joshua, if I'm going to fight for you, there's something that you've got to do. Let's find out what he had to do. Verse 14 said, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. Somebody shout, captain of the host of the Lord. Am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Somebody worship God. And said unto him, what saith my Lord to his servant? In other words, are you kidding me? You're trying to tell me that you're not an ordinary man. You're trying to tell me that you are not an ordinary angel. You are captain of God's host. Do you know that there are many different armies in heaven? And you're here to tell me that you're captain the entire host? Somebody magnify God if you know what I'm talking about.
God in the Room Ministries will be hosting our 5th annual Mr. and Mrs. Adams Family Life Conference, January 16th through the 19th, 2014. This will be held at the Embassy Suites Hotel located at 66 Northwest 53rd Street in Boca Raton, Florida. For more information, please call 1-888-91-GOD-IN-THE-RAW. That number is 1-888-914-6346. Or 561-429-5743. This will be a life-changing event. See you there.
When you read in the book of Revelation 22, you will see exactly who this captain is. Hello? But listen. verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose the shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Who was this captain of the Lord's host? Somebody call him by his name, Michael. Somebody call him Prince Michael. Tell somebody when Prince Michael show up, all that you gotta do is surrender your shoes. If you just surrender your shoes, you don't have to fight the battle. I don't know who have your shoes today, but I'm here to tell you that Prince Michael is here. Oh, you ever take some time out to just worship? Yeah. He'll tell you exactly what you need to do. If you're watching by way of the airwave, let me tell you something, that if you desire to come into the presence of God, and if you desire for God to fight your battle, you must. You must loose your shoes and come into worship. You must surrender. And Joshua did so. And let me tell you something, because he did that, Prince Michael made sure that he gave him instruction. He said, now come on, boy, now that you have surrendered your shoes, all you're gonna have to do for me is line up your soldiers and tell them to march. We're going to take Jericho. I'm going to give you Jericho. Come tell somebody, when the Lord has your shoes, when the Lord has your shoes, you don't have to lift your sword. Tell somebody, when the Lord has your shoes, the Lord have your battle. And when the Lord have your battle, you have the victory. Come on, tell three people, I've got the victory. Said, honey, if all it takes is just me taking off my shoe. Taking off your shoe is saying that I surrender all. Taking off your shoes is to say I can't handle this. Taking off your shoe is to say, God, only you. So God told him.
This has been Your Time with God in the Role Ministries. Thank you for following along with Dr. Prophetess Charmaine Pale Peart from the Seventh-day Church of the Living God. We do hope that you were truly blessed.
If you would like a copy of this message, call 561-429-5743. Again, that's 561-429-5743. Follow God in the Raw on Facebook and Twitter, and visit the website at godintheraw.org.
Tune in next time for part two of this message.
In the spirit world, there's a